It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, Stockholm. To all of my family, to all of Captain Joe's people, streaming live on voiceofvashon.org, and to all of the people in between, all of Captain Joe's people in between, all of the ships at sea, all of the aircraft in the air, and all of the people for whom we harbor love, affection, and respect and regard. It is time for us to gather around the captain's chair and talk about things a little bit different from what you heard before. I was just listening to Susan and her guest, in which they both proclaimed that they're not perfect. Well, pontificating from the chair, I can assure you that neither am I, and neither is the world in which we all live and to which we are expected and required to continue to contribute even unto the day of our death. So, my greetings to all of those people and all of those places. And the binnacle list this week has struck right to the very depths of my own personal soul, because several people who are not only Captain Joe's people, but who are very close aboard to me through the Coast Guard Channel, are now on the binnacle list. So I'm counting on Gail for a quick recovery. Mary R. and I were witnesses at Fred and Gail's wedding in Reno during a Coast Guard reunion. John, who is one of the stalwarts of the Coast Guard Channel, is also on the binnacle list. And I picked up, through the Department of Veterans Affairs, a reminder that all veterans, and many of Captain Joe's people are veterans, and all veterans are able to plug into the Department of Veterans Affairs, and in particular, the mental health resources that are available. And the Department of Veterans Affairs this week made a particular point that there are a lot of veterans who are veterans of the wars in the Middle East and who may find themselves in serious mental, emotional trouble as a result of the events that are going on right now. And I choose not to get into the politics of it, or not even the operational aspects of it, although I do have one comment that I am going to make. About some of the film clips that we've seen coming from Kabul. But for those who need some mental health support, who are veterans, they can go on to the Department of Veterans Affairs helpline. I'm going to give the telephone number, and here it comes. So if you need to write this down, you can. But I'm also going to tell you how you can get to it if you don't have the ability to copy this down. The phone number is 1-800-273-8255, and you want to hit choice or option number 1 to talk to a real person, and not just a recording. So that number again is 1-800-273-8255, and hit option 1. Now, I have to confess that I haven't tried this one myself, so I am quoting directly from the Department of Veterans Affairs website. But if you did not copy the number down, just go to the Department of Veterans Affairs website. I think it is just dva.gov. And go ahead and hit the search box for that for the mental health helpline, and you'll be able to get right on to it. So the medical list is for this week is a very personal one, and I know that there are some of Captain Joe's people who have mental and emotional concerns going on inside them. I happen to be aware of one or two in my own extended family. And so the wish, the desire, and the command from the captain's chair is to reach out and get that help. I have been watching the some of the film clips coming out of the airport at Kabul. And one that particularly struck me was a photograph of the interior of a C-17 aircraft. It is loaded with what the aircraft commander thought that maybe he had as many as 800 people inside the belly of that airplane. When they did a count, when they landed in, I believe they landed, they went from Kabul to Qatar, and when they landed, they counted 640 people that were not aircrew. And there were children, children with toys, children, there were photographs of children being fed in the aircraft. I'm not in a position to comment on how they decided who would get to go and who had to be left behind for the next flights. But I was concerned enough about the picture itself and the way that that machine was loaded to ask my friend and colleague, Captain Truman O'Brien, about the weight and balance. And he assured me that that aircraft could easily lift the weight and that it was also easily within the center of gravity limits of the aircraft. Clearly, the machine was able to get off the ground because the aircraft commander, once he had a full boat and he locked up the stern ramp, then was able to take off and to fly to Qatar. But in the larger sense, I'm giving a well done, in military terms, a Bravo Zulu to that air crew for making the decision to, and it was indeed the aircraft commander's decision to fly and to take whatever risks. Certainly not everybody in that aircraft was strapped down, so it's a good thing they didn't hit any turbulence. Anyway, a well done and a Bravo Zulu for the incredible airmanship of that aircraft commander and of his air crew for getting those people out. The response, the Coast Guard response in Haiti. I have a personal interest in Haiti because my dad at one time was the manager for what was then Esso and now, of course, is Exxon. And I believe that I am looking out the window of the Gene Bosch studio and seeing a little bit of drizzle coming down, desperately needed. And if I am right, when I get out to my vehicle after, there's a vehicle just drove up and it is damp. In fact, the windscreen wipers are even working on that vehicle. Those of you who are driving in this, be aware that we've not had any dampness on the highways for a long time. And this is a parenthetical insertion to my comment about Haiti. But I saw it and I'm responding to it. All of you be extra careful because it will, the little bit of moisture on the highways mixing with the oil that inevitably leaks out of certain unmentionable vehicles will make it just as slick as snake poop. And so be extra special, extra careful. If your vehicle is equipped, as most of them are these days, with traction control, make sure that it's engaged. You're not seeing the little yellow triangle or amber triangle on the panel in front of you. And take everything on a slow bell. Back to Haiti. My dad was the manager for what was then Esso and is now Exxon in Haiti, while I was, in fact, a cadet at the Coast Guard Academy, and I visited them several times. And I have been to Haiti several times since then, the last time being I took my Northwind there for an R&R weekend while we were undergoing training with the Navy at Guantanamo Bay, which in those days, that was its function, was to provide combat training for Navy and Coast Guard ships. And when we were getting my Ingham ready to go to Vietnam, we spent over a month there doing war games with the Navy. It was an incredibly intense experience. So I have a great fondness for the country, and it is one of the saddest stories, and has been ever since slave times. So for there to be yet another earthquake after the 2010 earthquake, from which they were still rebuilding in certain parts of the country, and then to have it become washed over by a huge amount of rainfall, as much as 15 inches, I'm told, in parts of the country. So the Coast Guard has always had a presence in Haiti. In fact, for some time, the only vessel in the Haitian Navy, which was then the Haitian Coast Guard, was a sister ship to my first command at sea, a 95-foot patrol vessel. And we've had at the embassy, at least for many, many years, and maybe still do, the naval attaché was, in fact, a Coast Guard officer. So we've always had a presence there. And as soon as this particular earthquake happened, it's down in the peninsula, down on the lower, on the southwestern part of the country. It sticks out. And it forms the bay, which is at the head of that bay is Port-au-Prince, the capital. The admiral commanding in the 7th Coast Guard District, headquartered in Miami, immediately deployed everybody that he had available. And so almost immediately, without waiting for the Department of Defense to ponderously mobilize, we've had aircraft and cutters on scene providing what assistance we can. And I give my second Bravo Zulu to all of those people who saw the need and went ahead, and insofar as we had the facilities to do it, we've been providing ground on the ground support, both aircraft and cutter support. And so that leads me to a press conference that I heard with Admiral John Kirby. Admiral Kirby is the present spokesman for the Department of Defense. Admiral Kirby is a retired Navy Rear Admiral. He was, when he was on active duty, he was the Navy Chief of Information, CHINFO. And I have worked with CHINFO for off and on when I was still a serving officer. And although I've not worked with Admiral Kirby, he is after my time. I'm aware of the way the CHINFO works. And so when Admiral Kirby retired, he was then taken on as the spokesman for the Department of Defense. And during his briefing today, there was a statement from him that DOD is deploying, has not yet deployed, is deploying an amphibious warship, and is but the article that was in the that came from the Naval Institute morning briefing said that, and showed Admiral Kirby talking about the upcoming deployment of this amphibious warship. And it was warmed the cockles of this Coast Guard sea captain's heart to see that the article was illustrated with a Coast Guard helicopter medevacing Haitian civilians. In other words, we already have people there doing the work, and no doubt Admiral Kirby, in his follow-on remarks, because I did not watch the entire press briefing, gave full credit to the Coast Guard already on the scene, waiting for their Navy brethren and sisterin to show up. So I am just taking the opportunity to use a little bit of semper paratus here. I know how the Navy works. I know how DOD works. I know that they are far less decentralized than we are. And it's one of the advantages of our not being in the Department of Defense, but being in the Department of Homeland Security, where the Secretary of Homeland Security is clearly allowed the Commandant of the Coast Guard to deploy his people. And the Commandant has, in turn, been very generous in the way that he has decentralized his operational commanders so that they can see a need and they can get on it without having to go through a lot of who struck John and jiggery pokery of waiting for somebody to make a decision, whereas the field commanders can see what has to be done and they get ahead and get on it and do it. However, I have great respect for Admiral Kirby. He is in an incredibly difficult position right now. He had an Army two-star on, and that Army two-star did not distinguish himself in the way that he presented what was going on so far as the Army was concerned. And quickly, Admiral Kirby came back on, and he's the one who actually fielded the most difficult questions. He did the best that he could with a very difficult script. And so it remains to be seen how we're going to be able to get all of those people out of there. And I am confident that they're doing the best that they can. My only comment, and this is what I have to say about all of this, is that they certainly should have seen this coming. They, being all of the field commanders on the ground, should have seen this coming and should have been able to get a lot more of those people out while the getting was good. I hope that we've not lost the window on that. In other nautical news, the Golden Ray, one of my favorite in the sense that I've been keeping up with what she's been doing, is now up to number six of the sections that are being cut up to break her up and get her out of St. Simon's Sound. And there were about 2,300 gallons of fuel that got loose from her. And they're now doing some beach and bird cleanup. So I've remarked before that this was one of those situations where they probably would have, if they had wished now, that they had done it a different way. There are two more sections of her to be cut up, and those to be cut, lifted, and loaded onto barges for her ultimate scrapping. So we're way behind schedule in the completion of this particular job, and not only are we way behind schedule, but we have also had a couple of things happen that were not in the original operations order, and the Coast Guard commander, who is in fact a commander, is the on-scene commander for the joint task force that is taking care of this, is probably wishing that maybe they had gone at it a little bit different way. It'll be interesting to read and hear what the wash-up is. The magazine for this week is the Professional Mariner magazine. Its subtitle is Journal of the Maritime Industry. And one of the lead articles in it is Correspondence. And the subtitle for that article is Restoring Coast Guard Search and Rescue Proficiency. Now, this particular article, and I haven't read the whole thing yet. I will have other things to say about it. But I personally spent a lot of time and many years at sea in command of ships that were involved in the search and rescue business. I am a graduate of the first class of the Coast Guard Rescue Search and Rescue School, and I take very seriously the Coast Guard's responsibility to maintain full SAR proficiency, and so I look with great interest to take a look at and study this article over very carefully, and then to make a make some comments on it. If, in fact, I agree with the premise of the person who wrote this article, who is a Coast Guard, he's a retired Coast Guard commander. And so the first thing I want to do is to see what his own qualifications and credentials are. I know what mine are, and I will look forward to reading what he has to say, and then I will have further commentary on it. But I am really concerned anytime we, and not only concerned, but want to make sure that the criticism is valid. And then if it is valid, what are we doing about it? Because this is one of the areas in which we have not only demonstrated ever since our founding in 1790, demonstrated our capabilities, but also we have both statutory in under U.S. law and statutory under international agreement responsibilities. And if those are being allowed to deteriorate in the pursuit of other missions, then shame on us, and we need to get that sorted out. So restoring Coast Guard search and rescue proficiency implies that it has fallen down and we need to restore it, and I will have more to say on that. In the meantime, G Captain, which is one of my sources, G Captain published an article in which it said that the drug war at sea is heating up, and it uses as an example about a recent deposit on the docks of in Florida of $1.4 billion, that's billion with a B, bravo, worth of drugs from the Caribbean and the Eastern Pacific through the work of the Joint Interagency Task Force South, which is headed by Coast Guard Commander, and he has his headquarters in Key West. This involves both DOD and Customs and Border Enforcement and a number of other agencies along, and the lead agency is the Coast Guard, to capture drugs as it moves through the waterways headed to our shores. And so I believe, and in fact I know because I have experience with this, that the Coast Guard, are able to manage all of these activities. And we do this because we have not only dedicated people, but we have the right training and the right people in the right place at the right time and the right facilities. That isn't to say that we could use more, but what we've got and what we have in place are all of the right things. And so not only are we able to manage the drug war at sea, but I am, and that's why I'm so concerned about this article that has to do with possible deterioration of our search and rescue capabilities. And we're also, of course, deployed all over the world in with our major cutters. And I have a lot more stuff that I want to say, but I see that once again, we have come up on that minute 59, which tells me that it is time for me to say from the captain's chair that all of you who are responsible for other people, it is my wish, my desire, and my command that you watch their six, that you fulfill your responsibilities on behalf of those other people, and that when we come up on minute 60, I have to end it, because if I don't end it, then the automatic program ends it for me. And so I also say that we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and that this is your Captain Joe from the Captain.
We want the whole world to know what your nonprofit organization is doing and why you exist. So, we write, record, and play public service announcements about your event, your cause,